Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At landfall in Texas, Beryl was a Category 1 hurricane, leaving at least three people dead in Texas and one in Louisiana. It has knocked out power to nearly 3 million people and to 300 million Texas customers. CBS's Janet Shamlian is in Houston.
People abandoned their cars on flooded freeways. In Harris County, two people were killed when trees fell on their homes.
Shelter in place. We're in an emergency. We're in a rescue mode.
And now the cleanup.
Heard a sound cracking and then a loud boom.
Joe Gibbons showed us the 60-year-old tree that came down within feet of him.
This is a massive tree.
It is. And if this was a Category 1, I would hate to think what it would have been like had it stayed a 4.
Beryl has weakened into a tropical depression and is about 30 miles east-southeast of Tyler, Texas. Record-breaking heat impacts the West Coast with at least three people dead in Oregon. CBS's Carter Evans with more.
In Phoenix, there's been an 84% increase in possible heat-related deaths so far this year. And in California's Death Valley, a motorcyclist died from heat exposure over the weekend. But despite the dangers, visitors turned out to experience the valley's 129 degrees on Sunday.
It's definitely shocking. I don't know how anything can survive out here.
President Biden dismisses calls to drop out of the 2024 presidential race. This as White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about a Parkinson's expert who was at the White House several times in the last year.
Has the president been treated for Parkinson's? No. Is he being treated for Parkinson's? No.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was asked about President Biden and this week's NATO summit in Washington.
They wouldn't be coming, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea, to a NATO summit if they didn't believe in American leadership and how important it is, and if they didn't believe that President Biden takes that responsibility extremely seriously.
The RNC's platform committee is adopting a new policy to reflect former President Donald Trump's positions. CBS's Jake Rosen.
For the first time since 2016, the RNC redid its platform as a party to configure itself towards the MAGA world and to appease Donald Trump, whose campaign and staff are now in charge of the RNC.
It has removed language calling for a national abortion ban and touts what he would do on immigration, inflation, and energy. Two people are dead and over a dozen wounded after a violent holiday weekend in Detroit. Mayor Mike Duggan responding.
The violence was generated almost entirely by a growing form of illegal activity in this city, and that is the illegal block party.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Eau Claire parents are asking the Supreme Court for permission to sue their school district over a gender support policy. The district policy says staff should respect the student's chosen gender and doesn't need to notify parents. Parents say that violates their constitutional rights. The case has already been dismissed twice from lower courts for lack of standing. A lot of farm workers do their jobs outside in extreme heat in the summer. The Biden administration wants to guarantee them mandatory rest breaks, shade, and clean drinking water. Samantha Guerrero is a community organizer who says it's high time.
There are a lot of farm workers who are in danger of losing their lives in these extreme temperatures. And so far, we have seen no urgency to enact or create any protection.
479 American workers died from heat exposure between 2011 and 2022. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 9-2 victory Sunday over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Top of the fourth, no score. And Christian Yelich at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball deep center. Back Pajes, still back and gone. Back-to-back days with homers for Christian Yelich and the Brewers strike first in L.A.
Now with the win, the Brewers able to avoid being swept by the Dodgers. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on what made the difference.
You know, story of the game, obviously Yelich, has been dominant the series in terms of his at-bats. It's been unbelievable. And guys like Vinny Capra, Eric Haas, these guys are in the major leagues for the first time this week. And Capper's got about 12 at-bats total in his career. And for him to play defense the way he did and play in this environment, I was just proud as hell of him. And great effort. A lot of guys, great effort.
The crew is now back home. They have the day off before they host the Pirates tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, look for a chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 67. Slight chance of a storm Tuesday, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Showers and storms are likely Tuesday night, lows in the upper 60s. 75 and stormy on your Wednesday.
Currently 75 degrees.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We'll review the Sean Hannity interview with Donald Trump. I'm sure he's asking crushing questions like, will you leave the race, sir?
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Henny Cup gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I saw you this weekend up in Red Lake, and we went to see where Bob Blake from Red Lake lived and where he's from, and that was awesome. Got to hang with the lieutenant governor up there. She was incognito there with her family and wanted to just to enjoy the powwow. And, of course, you know, we outed her and said thank you for all the great work you do. Ho-wah.
Yes, it's, you know, Red Lake, thank you so much. A big Pinagigi and Pinagigiwi to everyone who made this year's Independence Day powwow celebration a really good one. And, you know, just really big thank you for hosting us and everything. It was great to see Lieutenant Governor up there. A lot of people were up enjoying family time on vacation as well. And comedian Red Laker Trish Cook was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always really fun to run into her. And yeah, that's Bob Blake's homeland. So it was amazing. We saw a couple, lots of wildlife, a few bears, and it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time and it was beautiful. And it's great to see Red Lake flourishing up there. And I know they have, I think they have 17,000 citizens and half of them live on up on the res there. And what a beautiful lake Red Lake is.
Yeah, that was my first time going up to Red Lake Nation's reservation. And we've talked a lot about, you know, just with other guests on the show about land back and the whole land back movement up there with the upper lake. And wow, I guess I just didn't realize how big the lake was. One, just, you know, not being up there. And the beautiful sunsets over the lake are just amazing. And really, I didn't see a single boat on Lower Lake at all.
Wow, really good point. Hey, I also want to mention this, Haley, too. When we celebrate July 4th, especially our relatives in Ho-Chunk, it's really Mitchell Red Cloud Jr. Day, and he was a Ho-Chunk. He was a corporal in Company E, 19th Infantry Regiment in Korea. And on November 5th, 1950, Red Cloud was on the ridge guarding his company command post when he was surprised by Chinese Communist forces. He was surrounded. He sounded the alarm and stayed in his position, firing his automatic rifle point blank to check the assault. This gave his company time to consolidate its defenses. After being severely wounded by the enemy fire, he refused assistance and continued firing upon the enemy until he was fatally wounded. His heroic action prevented the enemy from running his company's position and gained time for evacuation of the wounded. And we celebrate, there's more to this, but that you get the gist of it. And refusing, Red Cloud, we always have, and July 4th is Corporal Red Cloud's day, and not the 4th of July for us in Ho-Chunk here in not only Wisconsin, but all over Turtle Island.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I know us as natives, we... Well, I guess depending on, which nation you come from or what's, the anniversary around these dates. But I found out that Red Lake celebrates their independence on July 6th, I believe is the exact date. But they celebrate their independence from the Dawes Allotment Act back in, I think, 1876.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they were one of the only nations in the entire country to not sign the Dawes Allotment Act, including the Navajo Nation, allowing them to keep their land all of this time.
Well, we know, too, in July 4th, 1776, we were called the merciless Indian savages in this Declaration of Independence.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword holiday for us. It's good to get together with family, have the days off, and things like that. But it's a double-edged sword for us Native Americans.
Yeah, that's true. And really how I see it is, just celebrating us as Native people still being here and celebrating our sovereignty.
Well, I was, celebrating how Thomas saved Arnold Joseph today on July 4th from smoke signal. So that's a big holiday for a lot of us too that love that movie.
That's a really good point. I was hoping you were going to bring that up. If not, I was going to. But yeah, Smoke Signals, one of those really iconic movies from 1998, the year I was born. It's a really great year.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Smoke Signals, I would definitely check that out. I'm sure you could find it on streaming services. But yeah, that was the day he saved, from the fireworks, the explosion.
Joseph. Yeah, definitely. And at the beginning of the movie, when he saved him, they said, "Oh my God, you saved Arnold!" And he was like, "I'm sorry." Then you find out why he was sorry at the door.
Yeah, then you find out once you watch the movie.
That movie still holds up to this day. Smoke Signals. It really, really does. And I've watched it recently, and it still holds up to this day, which is pretty amazing. And it's based on Alexei Sherman's books and writings, and it was all Native cast, and it's fun too. They have there was a Native star on the TV show called Northern Exposure who had a cameo, and she was driving a res car, and then only had reverse, and they were driving through the reservation in reverse the whole time, which was not that far off. I know, like, for instance, like we talk about our nation and our relatives in Winnebago, they just got dirt road. I mean, they had dirt roads for the longest time, and now they've finally been paved the last, 8-10 years.
Right. That's so true. And when we were in Red Lake, they did a parade on Saturday, and there are a few res cars in there. Some of the best I had ever seen.
Hope you took pictures.
That is something I wasn't able to do, I don't think. But they had all the doors were missing, of course, and a couple props in there, the babies in the car seats. It was pretty amusing.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. That's funny. You didn't see Bob Lake, did you?
I didn't. I did stop by the Native Son tent and got some swag. They had a medallion that they were giving away in a drawing, and I saw someone was able to win that. It was a beautiful Red Lake beaded medallion. But Bob Blake, I heard, had to tend to some family matters, so he will be back hopefully at next year's, but definitely I know we'll see him soon.
Yeah, well, his mom, and I do believe one of his brothers live up on the res there in Red Lake. And if people in Wisconsin are listening to us all over Turtle Island, Red Lake is like 4-hour drive. Matter of fact, from my house, 4 hours and 6 minutes to Red Lake. And what's interesting too is, you know, it's just about 30 miles past the beginning of the Mississippi up there, too, and Isanti.
Yeah, Itasca State Park.
Itasca, thank you. What did I say?
Yeah. Isanti. Isanti or something.
Yes, Isanti Claus. Yeah, yeah. And so that's, if you ever make it up there, that's a nice place to go. I know it's the beginning of the Mississippi, and you can hopefully still drink the water, even though we got Line 3 up there running right through the Mississippi. And exactly.
Let's keep talking about those lines, Lines 3, Line 5. We got to keep talking about those.
Well, I agree 100%. I think we have Dr. Stately on today, and we also have Wendy checking in, and you are listening. I'll say it really slow. You are listening to AM 950 Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Dr. Stately, and he is the CEO of a Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I just want to wish him a happy 4th, and it's really good to see you, Dr. Stately. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy 4th. It's the 8th, my dear.
Were you
You're
just
like all
your
my
hair?
Indigenous relatives. You're like 4 days late.
Yeah. Indian time on the 4th of July.
Right? Completely. It's okay. Yeah. I'll take it. Thank you. How are you? How was your weekend? Did you enjoy your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Both Haley and I were up at Red Lake. I was up there for a day or so, and she stayed up there for a few days. And first time up there, what a beautiful lake, and powwow, and politicians, and marijuana up there, and in Red Lake. We like it. Go Red Lake.
Yeah, did you... Did you have some of that marijuana?
No, I'm still sober. I don't tell people how to live their life, but I have to stay sober. It's like, for me, that was the hardest thing for me to quit using. I quit drinking, and then I went to treatment, and then I went to AA. And after AA meetings, I'd smoke marijuana going, this was just a great meeting. I just really enjoyed this. These people are really cool. We were rapping in a circle, and, you know, I was enjoying it afterwards, until a friend of mine said, like, a couple months later, he said, you know, if you're smoking weed, you don't get one of those medallions. And I went, what? So then I gave it a shot, and 40 years later, now I've been totally clean. But that was a hard one for me to give up. So it's like smoking. I can't smoke a cigar, or I'll start smoking cigarettes again. It's just that kind of personality.
That makes sense. I haven't had that experience. I actually have smoked cigars since I quit smoking, but I don't smoke them anymore either, though. So
you'd look cool with a cigar.
I think it was a, what do you call it, thing for me. It was like, oh, it's kind of cool. Yeah. My first time smoking a cigar, I was walking down the that famous street in New Orleans.
Bourbon Street?
Yeah, Bourbon Street. Walking down Bourbon Street, smoking a cigar, a Cuban, with one of my friends and a group of our friends. And I was like, ooh, this is good. It tastes good. I smoked them a couple more times after that. And then I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Whenever I smoked a cigar, I always talked like the Penguin from Batman. I don't know why.
Hey, did you walk like him too? Did you do your little waddle, your little feet? And then...
Yeah, give me a light here. That's a cigar. I don't know. That was probably a good reason not to smoke cigars, too.
I'm sure there were a lot of people that were so happy you stopped.
Yeah, I bet you they were. And that was before I met Wendy.
Well, that's probably good. I'm glad that you didn't do that. Like, actually, that's a really big health issue in our community. Like smoking and smoking cessation is such a big, huge, that's one of our big projects we're working on. Actually, is trying to reduce. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but Native people in the upper Midwest have some of the highest lung cancer rates in the nation. We die more frequently of lung cancer than any other group, specifically within the upper Midwest and the plains. Some of that has to do with our smoking rates. I think in Minnesota, it has to do with maybe there's a lot of radon in our state. We have a lot of radon, but we don't actually know how much of that plays a role. The majority of the preponderance of lung cancer conditions, though, for any population is really determined by whether or not they've been actively smoking or they've smoked for a long period of time. And there's an easy way to take care of it too. There's a low dose cancer screening process that you use a MRI machine and does a scan once a year, look for spots on your lungs. I did it last year. Actually, I did it as a part of we have a partnership with American Indian Cancer Foundation and also this really wonderful lung cancer doctor in Abby Bagnott at the University of Minnesota. We've been doing this lung cancer screening project now for a couple of years, and we tried to get more funding to do it, expand it. And she thought it would be a good idea for me to, like, for me, because I have such sway in the community, for me to also, like, after I disclosed her, like, in the personal conversation, I was like, well, I smoked for, like, you know, almost 25 years. I started when I was 11 and stopped when I was 34, 35. I haven't smoked since then, anything. And she goes, oh, you should be in the interview. Can we, like, you should do a lung cancer screening event and we'll take video of you and interview you after you, like, meet with the oncologist and go over your results. And I was like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting.
Well, I quit smoking probably 18 or 17 years ago, and I get a lung exam once a year just to see where I'm at.
Because it's important.
I do believe that's what's going to kill me eventually, is I'm going to have lung cancer because I smoked for so many years. And I know I've quit for almost 18, I think, 18 mm-hmm. or 17 years. And,
yeah.
you know, it was a life changer. But I'll tell you, when I first quit, both Wendy and I quit at the same time, and we loved pasta, and we could taste our food. And next thing you know, I'm 205 and I'm 245, and I yeah. didn't even realize that.
Wow. Yeah. that'll happen to you, I think. But I thought, oh no, you told me that she made a comment about the condition of your ashtray when she got into your car the first time.
Yeah. If I take a sharp turn, the cigarettes will be flying out on the floor. Yep, that's her.
Yeah.
I really impressed her when I picked her up at the airport. Had a ripped shirt. I'm lucky to be here.
Anyway, to be yeah, but there. I would say that it's like one of those things that I would really encourage anyone who has smoked for, well, they call it 30 pack years. And I was like, oh, good Lord. But like, you know, people have come up with these things, these researchers, like, oh, if you smoke 30 pack years or more, I'm like, what does that mean? Well, the equivalent of a pack, not a day, is it a day? I can't remember. Anyway, this whole like demarcation point. You're significantly greater risk if you smoke 30 pack years of cigarettes or others, maybe even cigars too, but commercial tobacco essentially. And that you're more likely to develop lung cancer. And so they encourage people to go get screened. It's non-invasive, the screening. It's not at all like a colonoscopy. It's just like you just go lay down on this machine and it takes a radiological MRI of your chest. And like you look at your lungs and you look for spots. And it is one of the most treatable cancers if you also catch it early. You don't catch it in a later stage, which is what why we're dying so frequently, is that people don't get screened early enough. They don't catch it until they're in stage three or four. And there's little coming back from it at that point. So,
yeah. Well, I got to ask Haley a quick question. How do you, for Native American Community Clinic next open house, I see a colonoscopy thing to walk through and maybe a big lung somewhere, an inflatable lung. What do you think?
Set of lungs, yeah.
Or a set of lungs.
We'll need some inflatable lungs with some facts on the inside that we can walk into and see. I'm very curious to see if the same rates for smoking commercial tobacco is going to be comparable to kind of like vaping.
Oh.
And nicotine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a.
I think we're just going to start learning. Like, I think one of the things that we. Like vaping hasn't been, think how long it took us to get to this point about being able to understand the impact of smoking cigarettes on lung health and lung cancer and those kinds of things. It'll take us a little bit longer than the last couple of years that we've been doing it. But I think that there's some early evidence that it is not good for your lungs for sure, right? So we're still inhaling, toxins and resins into your lungs. Mm-hmm. And I think the bigger issue, I think, that is related to vaping, which is a real concern, is like how many young people get incentivized and seduced into smoking or starting their smoking trajectory through like flavored right. Flavored cartridges that taste yummy. They got cool graphics on them. They got cool names. And, my sons would tell me that all the kids in high school were doing it. Right. So like, we just don't know enough, but we also know that it's likely not to be healthy. And, what happens when you run out of the money to be able to pay for cartridges and to buy those things? They're expensive. They don't last forever. And, so that you're likely to do things like start smoking cigarettes or other things, bumming off your dad or your mom.
Right.
You used to steal. Like when you stole them out of their purse when they were sleeping.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Cleanup is underway in portions of Texas hit by Hurricane Beryl, which was a Category 1 storm and is now a tropical depression. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
In Houston, one fatality due to a drowning. And sadly, we've had two freak accidents where trees fell on individuals and they were killed.
One death in Louisiana is blamed on Beryl. Record high heat in Oregon is suspected in 4 Portland area deaths. Multnomah County Health Officer Dr. Richard Bruno.
These are probably preventable deaths, you know, based on the fact that we assume that they probably would not have expired if they had had a better cooling options.
The heat sticks around through tomorrow. The White House press briefing got heated today when Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked repeatedly about the president's health.
I'm telling you that he has seen a neurologist 3 times while he has been in this presidency.
President Biden dismisses calls to drop out of the 2024 presidential race. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has ruled parts of Act 10 unconstitutional. State Superintendent Jill Underly says this decision could have a profound impact on public schools statewide. Although the implications of Judge Jacob Frost's decision are still unclear, Underly says now is the perfect time to reinvest in Wisconsin's public schools. Fighting against climate change can be good for your mental health. Dr. Emma Lawrence, leader at the Climate Care Center at Imperial College London, says countries need to address how environmental changes affect our mental well-being.
These impacts increase food and water insecurity, forced migration, community breakdown, disruption of access to healthcare that can lead to anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance misuse, and even death by suicide.
Studies show advocating for the environment can help relieve these eco-anxieties. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you liked Top Gun Maverick, you might like Brad Pitt's new film, F1. Pitt plays racer Sonny Hayes, a former Formula One driver who returns to the sport and mentors a rookie teammate. The film crew rolled cameras at actual Formula One events to add an element of authenticity. The teaser just dropped for the film that is being helmed by Top Gun Maverick director Joseph Kosinski and is produced by Jerry Bruckheimer for Apple TV. F1 is scheduled to open in theaters in June of 2025. Kris Kardashian never misses a chance to discuss intimate medical information in exchange for ratings. The 68-year-old says she struggled with when to tell her family about some health issues she's been dealing with. What better way to use her pseudo-reality show platform to inform, through tears, not only her family, but anyone watching that she has a cyst on her ovary? Will the Kardashians finally practice humility, or will the surgery be broadcast for all to see? Stay tuned. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, look for a chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 67. Slight chance of a storm Tuesday, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Showers and storms are likely Tuesday night, lows in the upper 60s. 75 and stormy on your Wednesday.
Currently 75 degrees.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin CHAIRS Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me Tuesday morning. My good friend Sandy Williams will be back, and we'll dive even deeper into Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're kind of talking a little bit about smoking and vaping. I know there was an article that just came out, and you were interviewed today on NPR, and maybe we can take some of NPR's thunder and talk a little bit about about what you were talking about, the opioid deadly toll of Minnesotans of color, and how that just came out on a report here and from 2019 to 2023, and up on top of the list is Native Americans that are dying from opioid.
Oh yeah, significantly more. Yeah. So this project was actually led by a researcher that I have a relationship with. Her name is Dr. Kumi Smith. She's an epidemiologist and a researcher that works at the University of Minnesota. And she also is a professor. She teaches about substance use disorders at the University of Minnesota. She and I have been talking about these issues for quite a while. Her and I have, and a couple of other colleagues, I think, that are connected to some of this work. Dr. Zewitt is it, who was also mentioned in the article, is a colleague and a friend who's working hard to address the this tremendous disparities that are happening across Minnesota, but also specifically within South Minneapolis and in the county of Hennepin. When you compare the rates of opiate overdose deaths for Black and Indigenous people, Native American people specifically, to Latinos and whites and other groups, our rates are substantially higher. We got to some of this data by, you know, the state and the county kind of do report some data, but it's not, we did some deep diving into the data, or Kumi did. I didn't really help her with that, other than to sort of listen to her and encourage her to do it. They looked at death certificate data as well, death certificate information. If you read the article is, maybe you can link it on your website so people can watch it later or read it later for themselves. But it talks a little bit about all the challenges of being able to sort of kind of get at the granular level data that that this group was able to get at, that sort of kind of does call out the significantly greater disparities for the Native community in Minnesota than any other population.
Well, it says here 22% or 22 times higher than white people, Native Americans death rate.
Yeah.
22%.
Yep. 22 times higher, not 22%, 22 times. That would be, so 1% or 100% is one time.
Right.
Significantly. So the things that are disturbing about that also that I think is really interesting is that also emerged from our analysis or their analysis was that, when they looked at across all of the opioid overdose death rate data that was available and they looked at things like education attainment, what they found was the overwhelming majority of overdose deaths can be accounted by people who have gotten a high school diploma or less. In fact, the highest rate of people to die from opioid overdose in those last 5 years has been people who don't have a high school diploma. The rate of death per 100,000 people is 322.7 deaths per 100,000 people for people without a diploma versus 220. That's 100 people more, right? I think one of the things that's challenging about that is that, like, when we think about some of the people who describe big epidemic things like the opioid epidemic, the houseless epidemic, these kinds of things, and some of these big things that are impacting Native people at a higher rate in the state of Minnesota, they talk about social determinants of health. things like poverty, lack of education, these kinds of things. They describe these things, and they term them social determinants of health, meaning those socially determined things will have significant impact on your health outcomes one direction or another, right? You know, I happen to think that things like not being able to earn a high school diploma in the state of Minnesota for Native Indigenous people is not a socially determined health outcome, but a politically determined one, right? Some of it has not necessarily to do with whether or not there's financial resources or other resources available to support good educational outcomes in certain communities that are under-resourced or those kinds of things. And whether there's money, whether or not there's political will to support mm-hmm. those things. And Minnesota has a long track record of not serving Indigenous people and having deplorable graduation rates for, decades, yeah. right? Yeah. And so it's not surprising then that we would see these huge death rates from our community that's much higher when we look at what does education have to do with that? Education has everything to do with that. And if you can't get a job, you can't get stability in your life and those kinds of things, well, maybe you'll become depressed. Maybe you'll develop a mental health disorder if you didn't already have one. Maybe mm-hmm. you'll have emotional, psychological, or even actual physical pain that can't be managed well. We did a much better job in the nation of addressing the opiate crisis for well-resourced, well-insured white people across mm-hmm. the land than we did for Black and Indigenous people who don't have health insurance primarily, don't have right. the kind of resources that people who have good jobs and stability in their lives have. So what we're seeing is the outcome of how these outcomes aren't just related necessarily just to the utilization of heroin or fentanyl or other substances, but the other things that are around it that actually amplify it and make it greater for our people.
Absolutely. And we talk about resources. We talk about these things. I just got to jump back a little bit too. I was on the parent committee, St. Paul Public Schools Native Parent Committee. And as an educator, we were applauding ourselves at 54-56% of our Native kids were graduating on time. And let me tell you, I was not applauding it. There was other people on the board that wasn't applauding it. And if this was in our white community, this would be in the paper every day. There would be heads mm-hmm. would roll. And yet we were looked at this as being a success because maybe 20 years, 30 years earlier, it was less, but I didn't see that way as being an educated Indian.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that was interesting about emerged in the story was that the highest rate of Minnesotans who were dying from opiate overdoses in the last 5 years, 4 years, in 2019 through 2023, were Minnesotans that were between the ages of 25 and 34. That's like the prime of your life.
Yeah.
Those are so it just is heartbreaking for me to read this. And then the next sort of age group that's most impacted is, 35 to 44-year-olds folks. These are the people who are, leaving behind loved ones, children, yeah. grandchildren. These are people who are in the prime of their lives, who should be having the most generative and productive years of their life and doing amazing things. And instead they're suffering from this, this completely preventable problem. So it's heartbreaking. When I read things like this, I'm so proud of the work we do at NAC, but we have this very robust harm reduction program and street outreach program, trying to get people Narcan and get them connected to treatment and, lower barrier access and all these things. We integrate culture and ceremonial practices and all that work. And so we're doing really great stuff. But when I read this data, it just heartbreaking. It makes me feel right. like, you know, even if I grew a workforce twice what I have now, like, would I make a dent in that? And so, you know, I'm having a moment today like this. So
yeah,
it's disheartening.
It
These are real people. These are people's children. These are people's parents, people's cousins and aunties and uncles and loved ones. These are not just numbers. These are real people.
Yeah, really good point. Yeah, it is. It is disheartening. But thank goodness that there's a real report out there that we can lean on and ask questions to our leaders, whether they're tribal leaders or city leaders or state leaders or county leaders. This needs to be addressed to, you know, having 2-3% of the population in the cities and have these kind of numbers. Is like a
we genocide. Represent across the state, we represent somewhere between 1-2% of the population, right? Of the entire population. I guarantee you that we do not get the scale of the crisis and the need as it impacts our community is nowhere near the scale of support we get from the county, the city, the county, or the state in terms of resources to address the problem. One way of thinking about that is like, you know, the settlement dollars that are coming into the states, you know, the governor said we're going to use those dollars to address the communities that are the most impacted. Well, you know, it's clear, the data is really clear who is the most impacted, you know, not just the number of people who die, but the scale of loss in the specific community. And in the article, I'm quoted as saying like, you know, smaller communities are more impacted by these kinds of huge numbers. Like it's the equivalent of dropping an atomic bomb in a community that has very small to lose 5 or 10 people in a year. Like that's a lot. That's a lot of people to lose. These are knowledge keepers, language holders, culture bearers, the parents and the grandparents and the loved ones of these children that we have to raise into the next future generations. It's impactful.
Well, Dr. Staley, thank you for talking to us about this really, really tough subject. And that's really applaud people like you and people that are trying to make a difference in the community, and you are making a difference. Again, big peeny giggy. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Staley, and speaking your truth.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Imagine over 7,000 voices from around the globe coming together in harmony in Minneapolis. This summer, Gala Choruses Festival 2024 comes to Minnesota. It's the world's largest LGBTQ+ singing event. From July 10th through 14th, Minneapolis will be transformed into a vibrant city of song. Join 122 choruses from places as far as China, Estonia, Finland, Ukraine, and Taiwan for 5 unforgettable days of wall-to-wall concerts, workshops, and social events at world-class venues like Orchestra Hall, the Minneapolis Convention Center, and Central Lutheran Church. One standout event not to miss is the free Choral Carnival on Friday, July 12th. Experience excitement as downtown Minneapolis comes alive with 45 to 60 minute rotating performances. Feel the energy in person by purchasing tickets at galacourses.org or stream every performance live and on demand at galacourses.org. Celebrate love, diversity, and the power of music at Gala Choruses Festival 2024, where every voice matters, July 10th through 14th in downtown Minneapolis.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. A couple of things here today. We're going to be all over the place, but that's okay. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and they say, well, you know, I had a dog and I had him for, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and the dog, you know, died. And the pain was so great that I just can't do it again. Like, I just can't go through that again. I think Robert and I realize that, you know, these little animals that we get, whether a cat or a dog, you know, they're not going to live as long as us, and we will have to go through that pain. But after, you know, the pain goes away, I always feel like, you know, let's adopt another animal in honor, right? In honor of the one that just passed. But here's a quote. This is by Dean Koontz. For those of you who don't know who Dean Koontz is, he's a writer, and he writes like science fiction movies, books. I used to read his books a lot, and I haven't read any of them in a long time, but years ago, he was one of the authors that I would read, kind of sci-fi, out of this world kind of stuff, but excuse me, this is what he says, and this is a quote: "Dogs' lives are short, too short, but you know that going in. You know the pain is coming. You're going to lose a dog, and there's going to be great anguish. So you live fully in the moment with her. Never fail to share her joy or delight in her innocence, because you can't support the illusion that a dog can be your lifelong companion. There's such beauty in the hard honesty of that, in accepting and giving love while always aware that it comes with an unbearable price. Maybe loving dogs is a way we do penance for all the other illusions we allow ourselves and the mistakes we make because of those illusions." And that's a quote from Dean Koontz, "The Darkest Evening of the Year." Yeah, it is. I mean, I just look at my little Wanda. She's our last animal left. Robert and I have always had multiple pets. But Wanda's our last one, and you know, she's 14. She heard me say her name. She looked at me, but, you know, she's 14, and I know her time is limited. You know, her time is limited. So I keep that in mind and spend as much time with her as possible. And I know that the day is going to come where the anguish, will come. And, you know that going in, but you still love them so much and they bring you so much joy. I think that outweighs the pain that we go through, the love that and the companionship that we share with these animals. You know, I've been following, looking on Facebook, and I look at these little memes, and I've been collecting them, and I just love some of them. I think they're so cute. So I'll just describe it to you. So here's a meme, and it's a caveman coming out of his cave, and a modern day hiker sitting face to face to each other. And the caveman says to the modern day hiker, "Behold the secret to happiness." And he's handing the modern day hiker a puppy. So, yep, behold the secret to happiness. We were just talking about that. I'm in Long Beach right now in New York, and they do not allow dogs on the boardwalk or on the beach. So here's a little cartoon with a dog with an X through it. So the dog is not allowed on the beach. The dog is looking in the ocean, and there's garbage in the ocean. There's plastic bottles in the ocean. There's tires in the ocean. There's netting from fishermen in the ocean, and the dog says, and they still haven't realized that the problem, it's them, not me, right? I know. And it's really a shame. I would love to bring Wanda up on the boardwalk and on the beach, but there's so many people who just don't pick up and clean up after their dog. So that's kind of ruins it for everybody. Here's another cute little meme that's very cute. It's a cartoon of a dog and a cat sitting on the couch, and they're reading books. So the dog is reading a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and the cat is reading a book titled The Art of War. I think cats get a bad rap all the time, but we've had cats over the years who were really sweet and cuddly and, you know, nice. Here's a meme. This is a cute one. I don't know, like, if you ever go out on a blind date, you have, like, your friend call you in the middle of the date, and then you would let your friend know whether the date's going good or not, and if not, you could say, oh, I have an emergency, I have to leave, you know how that happens. But this is a cartoon of a man and a woman. They're out on their first date, and the title is Bad Date Rescue Dog, and the woman... the dog walks in with a leash into the restaurant, and the woman said, what is it, girl? You need a long walk right now? Well, Bob, looks like I have to go. So that's the bad date rescue dog. I thought that was kind of cute. Here's one with a dolphin. And did you know that dolphin moms sing to their babies in the womb during pregnancy and after giving birth? They give their babies names for life. They also teach them a signature whistle that the baby dolphin can use to call its mother, and she'll know who's calling. So, scientists have been studying these dolphins for years, and they've really learned so much about them, and they're so intelligent. Really, really very intelligent. Here's a little meme with a little chicken. A little chick in resting in somebody's hand, and it says, quote, the soul is the same in all living creatures, although the body of each is different. And that's from Hippocrates. Hippocrates said that. Here's a little meme of looks like a little corgi dog, a little cartoon. And the cartoon says, I've been with you since I was a little puppy. So if I'm a brat, honestly, that's kind of on you. You know, we had Mickey and Pancho, our little chihuahuas, as puppies. They were rascally dogs. And see, we got them in September. I think that was the problem, Robert. We got them in September. And then the winter came, and it was so cold and snowy and icy out. And they were chihuahuas, so they had, like, no fur or hair on them, so they were freezing. So they never really went out a lot and socialized. So by the time we had them, you know, in the spring and we were out and about, they didn't know what was going on. So that was our fault. We'll never do that again. So if you have puppies, get them out, no matter what time of year it is, and have them socialize with people and other animals. I think that's really so important. Here's a cute little meme, and it's a hotel, and one dog is standing behind the counter checking other dogs in to stay at the hotel. And the dog is standing behind the counter and says to the client, do you want a bed or do you prefer to sleep on the furniture? That's kind of cute. And here's a cat laying in bed with the cover.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Joe Biden's top 100 rolls into days 25 and 26. We're talking infrastructure and transportation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
Because I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
it going. Thanks. That's really
you are one master whacker, I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's, wow, that's unbelievable. Really impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.